This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the My Old Man Said podcast. It is something for the weekend time. Joining me to discuss the upcoming top four clash with Tottenham Hotspur. Well, one of us is in the top four, so it's technically a top four clash. Is it not, Mr. Bud?
Technicalities, but yes. Hello, how you doing?
I'm doing very well. Well, not actually, I'm very short on sleep. There was a Villa fan consultation group meeting at Villa Park yesterday, which went on, till the early hours, but two and a half hours. So started at 6:30, finished at 9:00, and then, you know, you get back and then you're doing stuff. And unfortunately, I don't have a driver like Perslo, so I can't work in the car. I have to get the train. But anyway, I could do with a night's sleep before this aforesaid Villa Spurs game. But we will get on to that just quickly. That meeting, the fan consultation group meeting, is embargoed until Monday. But it's just so the club have time, because there's a match, they're obviously a bit busy. But so they have time to get the meeting notes out on Monday or Tuesday. So it's all kind of unified, because, you know, these meetings are off the record behind closed doors, so you can actually have a proper conversation, you know, as in, you know, any company like board meetings. It's so you don't get a version of Christian Perslo where he knows that everything he's going to say is going to be on public record and turned into clickbait on the Birmingham Live website, and he censors himself and you just get a load of PR. So you can have a proper conversation, and you know, the more meetings you have, the more trust you build. So this one was probably the best, with this current ownership meeting, that fan consultation meeting that we've actually had, actually, in terms of the scope of things we spoke about, which I'll be a bit more free to speak about on the next main show. This is a show, if you are new to the channel, which is just dedicated to the weekend ahead, and we just catch up on a few things. Just before we go on there, I will clear up on the pricing thing. I mean, I walked into that room and there was a lot of talk about this 30 and a lot of mention of this 30% rise, but as if it was like this blanket across the board rise, all ticket prices, season ticket prices would go up 30%, and I just thought that's not going to fly in any shape or form. Whatever your waiting list is,
that's a big increase in one go in the current financial.
It's a huge increase, and it just doesn't sound right. So I, you know, just ignored that, as I do with most things on social media. The upshot is, everybody's getting at least 10%, a 10% increase. That's across the board. Now, certain areas, and it's not that many, will be upped a zone. The main ones I notice were the lower north, which has been cheapest chips for a while now, which was, I think it was Zone 5, was it?
I haven't actually sat there since the first season they introduced the home fans sitting back down there, so I've not sort of never...
Oh, no, I used to go in the corner for Manchester United
games. Just a bit of spice.
There was no sitting involved, by the way, so nobody sits there. But so there's that potentially compounding. Also, the lower Holt end in the middle is going up a zone, so it replicates the mid-upper Holt, so that's going up a zone as well. Apart from that, I don't think there's that many zonal changes. For example, where we are, K4, it's the same, so it's... We have the minimal price increase, although it's not the cheapest place to be, but it's 10%. What you will have, though, is a shaving of the concession discount. And I think concessions have been heavily reduced. So they've had a strategic 10-year analysis of all pricing points. They've compared it to other clubs. And to be honest, generally, Villa has always been seen as good value, which, I mean, I don't know if you agree with that, as Villa is good value in comparison to the rest of the Premier
League. I think
so.
We've always tended to be in sort of, what, bottom third?
So we're in a situation where the concessions made it, even more so. I think, under 14s, we're getting like 83% off. They will get like 60% off. Under 18s, give you a ballpark figure, it's like half price, 50%. But where there's a bit more of a cut is under 21s, which is just going to be 20% off. And I think that's going to be, I think they're over 50% at the moment in terms of the cut. So it might be forcing out. Imagine if you're in the lower north and you're, let's say, 19, there's going to be real... You're going to get a sucker punch there. It's almost like they're pricing out the young element, but the problem is you're getting rid of people who are creating the atmosphere. I mean, we'll talk more about this on the main show. Over 65s, I think it's going to be a 20% cut. So that's also a reduction as well. There's going to be a big percentage of people that will just get 10%, and that's it. And when you look at it over a period of time, we've had 3 years in the Championship. We haven't actually had a steady increase in ticket prices at a Premier League level because we dropped into the Championship. So you've got 3 seasons there where they couldn't really up the actual prices because they've got to bear in mind that we're actually paying for more games now. So in the Championship, you're playing a lot more games and you really can't ask for Premier League prices. And then you're in the situation where there was a season and a bit behind closed doors, so you've lost that amount, so there hasn't been any income there or price increase. So that 10% is essentially a few seasons of price increase, essentially.
It's almost like 5 years of catching up, isn't it? It's kind of...
Not the greatest timing.
No.
In terms of energy prices.
Costs of living, etc.
Potential recession, the financial markets being down.
And even just getting to the ground is more expensive at the moment.
Yeah, so, I mean, we'll go into it more detail elsewhere, but, a lot of people, it'll be 10%. And some people, it's if you are in a zone where they are phasing out that zone because they want to simplify it, and then also you're a concession at the same time, then you may be facing a whole new world and you may have to reevaluate your life.
Yeah.
And your life choices. But, this is the thing. It's it emboldens the club, as any business would, if they had a 22,000 waiting list. And it's all about yield. You're going to put up prices. Of course, 22,000 are not going to buy a season ticket with increased prices.
And enough will until they expand. Once the expansion comes, it becomes a different ballpark. But for now, we are. For the first time in the last two seasons or so, for the first time in Villa's history, we are oversubscribed.
And, we're in a ballpark now where we've got Gerrard as manager and we've got, players like Coutinho instead of Glenn Whelan,
What a comparison.
Paying Glenn Whelan's retirement fund, for example.
Yeah.
So there is a difference in expectations and it's just unfortunate. I mean, for example, like the COVID situation has put in that situation where you are jumping higher than in terms of price hike than you would normally have to suck up. So that is the only real... bad news that came out of that meeting. When more is revealed next week, there's a lot of positive stuff in terms of what they're looking at, in terms of the squad, the transfer situation, and also the North Stand expansion and how that is actually going to plan out is quite interesting. And that's actually going to go to a consultation phase where fans will be consulted on it. I mean, let's just say the Witten side of things, that it's going to be a huge transformation,
which
for
is
the better.
Needed for a long time, hasn't it, man? That is a very tired end of the ground.
Downtrodden, well, just the whole area that, yeah. I mean, from the train station to the stadium, you are looking at almost a cosmic transformation. But more of that later. Let's get into the show. Something for the weekend is normally short and sharp. We like to kick it off with a Villa Minute. Because it's so famous, the Villa Minute nowadays, we always get sent luxurious watches, as these watch companies actually design watches from their raw imagination just for this show, so they can send it to sponsor this segment.
And we even get the collaborations now as well, as of this week.
What came through the post? I just gave him your PO box there.
Thank
so
you
what,
very
what
much.
You
it's
get?
Always appreciated, what? David.
What did you get this week?
The good people at Roger Dubuis, in collaboration with Lamborghini, I might add, have sent us a nice pair of Excalibur Spider Aventador S. Cool, $189,000 each.
Is there a higher class of eBay? Because I'm just not getting the bids that I want for these watches. Where do you go for like high-end stuff?
X-Bay. If you just want to...
I mean, you know, Gumtree, that you can't really do that. Craigslist, not really. We need to do a bit of Googling, I think, if we're going to continue.
We need a broker, David.
Racket.
That's what we need. We need a proper broker.
Oh, there's a good idea. Yeah, any watch brokers out there who want to cut the action. So without further ado, I'm quite interested by this Lamborghini. This minute's going to fucking fly by.
Or it'll crash.
Or it internally combust. But yeah, this Lamborghini collaboration watch, probably expecting this Villa Minute in probably closer to 30 seconds.
Oh, good luck with that.
Right, on your marks, get set, go.
Villa ventured to the Black Country for the derby that isn't a derby against the Dogheads, looking to reignite their season. Again. Digne returned, Sanson got a rare start, and Leon Bailey found himself in the starting lineup for the fifth time this season. Villa started brightly for all of 7 minutes before a comedy of errors led to Wolves being gifted the lead, following slips by McGinn and Konza. An own goal by Ashley Young made it double trouble for Villa, whose tendency to gift-wrap teams' goals continued to a shambolic degree. Where was Villa's midfield? Tumbleweed. 2 minutes at the break, and a long way back for SG&Co. Watkins fluffed his lines when put through by Young. Although he later converted a rather dubious-looking penalty, Villa slumped to their third consecutive defeat. While a 2-1 scoreline suggested a close contest, it could have been a Molyneux-Morling by half-time, leaving Gerrard wondering why his players can't get up for a local derby. Villa's fixtures to end the season were finally announced, with Liverpool, Palace and Burnley all arriving at Villa Park in a 9-day period, where fans might as well bring their sleeping bags and move in. But first, they return home to take on Conte's top-four chasing Spurs side, who haven't lost at Villa Park since 2008. Are Villa's hopes of a top-half finish fading?
Ooh, to be continued. Yeah, I noticed that double trouble reference, you sordid individual.
Yeah, sorry. It's Roger's influence, I can't help it. I had a quick coffee with Roger's the other day, it must have slipped in. Oh, there's another one.
Disgraceful. We have to ration his appearances just to keep the tone more family friendly. Steven Gerrard's press conference, what's happening in terms of injuries? Mings and Buendia picked up knocks versus the mighty Wolves, but have trained and they should be available for Spurs, in his own words.
Yep, and Danny Ings will obviously be back after his wife gave birth, so congratulations to the Ings family.
Nakamba, be interesting to see if he starts. He'll definitely be in the matchday squad. Whether he'll ease him in with a few minutes off the bench or get him in there and see what happens.
Yeah, he got through an hour, didn't he, on, it was last week, in the 23s. So, you never know, he might say try and get through an hour in the first team. I don't know, we'll see.
Yeah, Gerrard actually highlighted him at the start as one of the reasons why Villa had bounce and consistency in the early stages of his managerial reign. He said he's been missed and this week we have pushed him. He's an important player, so we will get him ready for 90 minutes. He'll be a big help to the team. Do you think you'll play him straight off the bat?
Hard to say, although because we've had such a crap performance at the Molyneux, you could make a sort of an argument for saying, well, try and get through an hour and we've got options you can bring off the bench. And
he played against Spurs when we beat him at the end of last season.
He did.
Season,
well, if I remember rightly, I think we pretty much gave him the man of the match, didn't we? He was great that night.
I mean, we don't know if he's how fit he is, but if he's, let's say, he's match fit and as Gerrard says, he'll be ready for 90 minutes, I think he'll throw him in because Gerrard will be gasping to make changes after just to, you know, after that reaction he got, how they started against Wolves.
Well, you've got to send a message out, haven't you, to certain players? And it's like, if I give you opportunities and you don't take them, you can't expect to stay in the team.
So if Nakamba's physically fit, I think he'll throw him in, because it's not as if he's gambling and, you know, he needs a few minutes to get him back. It's if he's 90 minutes fit, then he's playing.
Well, he's got a couple of, at least 2 weeks of training, maybe three, and then 60 minutes of game time. So we shouldn't be far off.
Yeah, no, exactly. And the amount of games we're playing in May, good heavens. Well, you know, 90 minutes in the bank or a start now, we, you know, sets him up to get him ready for that.
Yeah, it's a pretty hectic end to the season. It'll finally feel like we've got season tickets.
Yeah, we will need, I think there'll be a little bit of rotation there. Well, in the midfield department, because nobody's really printing their name on that starting lineup at the moment.
No, not.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Cool.
Anything else that Gerrard said?
Kind of just the usual stuff, you know. They're kind of this, you know, looking for the challenge of trying to grab a position against the top six, and again, you know, to test ourselves against where we want to be, which, let's be frank, this season we haven't done a very good job of. We're actually yet to beat anybody when they've been placed within that top six this season, so hopefully the tide will turn against Tottenham. I think it's a difficult time to play them. You know, they are in really good form. Conte's got them fired up. And the usual stuff about, you know, giving their fans a sort of a performance to be proud of, as, you know, especially the fans away from home have been watching some pretty crap football recently, bar the Leeds win.
Yeah, because the interesting thing is you're looking for motivation for the final, you know, final few weeks. And from a, you know, supporters' point of view, you want to finish in the top half, and you're hoping that these players' pride, you know, is on the same kind of level. But it's in terms of those minute motivation, you know, the difference it gives you, it's not that much of a carrot on a stick, is it? But then you look at the financial situation, and I mean, off the top of my head, I can't remember how much a place is worth, but it's about, was it 1.5, something like that? 1.5 million
something
or a million?
Like that, yeah.
Let's, you know, put it as a conservative 1 million. If every place that Villa finish higher, you know, when it comes to like planning for the next season or, you know, whatever, and it comes to the women's team, but, you know, who you know, let's face it, it's a common knowledge that it's run at a loss. But you are more, you know, if you finish, let's say, ninth instead of 11th, you know, that's a couple of million straight away. And even if you're just talking about the women's team, you know, if they needed an extra player, and they probably need a few players to get them up the next level, then that's becomes a reality and something you can sign off. But if you're finishing below where you project yourself to be, then you're going to look at cuts, and you're going to be more reluctant to be, you know, flamboyant in different areas that aren't bringing in the money. But that doesn't seem to trickle down to the players, and that for the club, it's a big thing in terms of when you go down the, you know, the various pyramid of the club and the areas that kind of rely on a flourishing Villa, then it is a big thing. But it's not a carrot on the stick for players, really, is it?
I don't think it makes enough difference, does it? It's not like we're chasing down even the potential for being in the mix for, like, a, you know, a Conference League place or anything. You know, we're so far off the pace for that now. You know, I think a lot of the expectation would have probably been, we won't be a top six side, but if we can be top eight, that would be considered a very good season. That's certainly what we'd discussed. I look at it now and think, if we get ninth and tenth with the way Leicester are looking with their games in hand, and we've got to play them, you'd consider it probably an achievement now on our current form.
Yeah, because you can sell the narrative, it's the next step.
Yeah, then the next step challenging is being a top
Europe.
Yeah, exactly.
And even though you would want to be challenging off the back of last season, and you know there was spend to suggest we were certainly aiming that way, you can, worst case scenario, frame it to agents, new players. Well, you know, we've moved up to the top half. You coming to the club's going to take us to this next level. Problem with Spurs, they're somebody who carry a dark sign over us, don't they?
Oh, it's just the record against them, especially at Villa Park, is horrendous. And they're a team that seem to have a knack of getting their shit together when they're playing against Villa, however wobbly they are. Other than last season when we played them away, where I thought they were pretty crap, they always seem to just turn up to Villa Park and manage to get the job done in recent years, even when they haven't played particularly well.
Yeah,
which,
it's like
which
the
is
United
not what Villa
curse.
Need right now. Yeah.
The United curse is something that you kind of live with. It's like a family curse or something. It's something you get on with your life and you know, and it makes you want to fight back. This kind of Spurs curse is weird because, you know, fans of certain ages used to see Spurs on the same level as Villa.
Yeah.
It was like Spurs, Everton, same kind of ballpark, shifting around, you know, sixth, seventh, eighth in the table, getting the odd European night. And up for the game when you play them to beat them. But you look at the record, we've won just two of the last 20 Premier League games against Spurs, including three draws. That's 15 losses in 20 games. That's shocking.
I mean, it's factoring that was for a pretty dreadful period when Villa were on the decline. But even during that decline, we were beating City and Liverpool, these other sides in that period. The record against Spurs is almost one of those ones that we haven't spoken about as much because they're probably not considered one of the real elite sides because they haven't won trophies, but it creeps up on you and you're like, wow. I mean, admittedly, you go into the game thinking, well, you know, will Villa be Villary or will Spurs be Spursy, as Phil Shaw would put it? Because this is the kind of game where Spurs would slip up in traditionally.
Have we got to the point where we're now using Villary?
Villarish. Oh, they're both horrible.
Spursy. That's like
Spursy's almost. That I think ours is just typical bloody Villa.
Spursy is almost in the Oxford English Dictionary, but I'm hoping Villa get their act together because I don't want any Villary or Villarish.
Oh God, no, horrible.
They've blitzed us in many ways, and they're actually blitzing teams recently as well. So it's all lining up for a goal feast at Villa Park this weekend
and a Villa win.
Give me the key stat that leads us to the conclusion that Villa will win this game.
Tottenham have won their past six Premier League away games against Villa. Only against the Villa themselves have they had a longer winning array run in their league history between, was it 1950 and 1956. So we are due one, you could say.
So if they beat us this time, they equal their previous record against us as well. Of consecutive away games won. What was happening in the 50s that we let Spurs beat us seven times on the trot?
That's back when we were good.
Villa Park. Jesus Christ. Couldn't have been that good. That just leaves us to end on the usual ponder of if we are to improve our first 11 and we're allowed to take one player from the Spurs ranks, who are we poaching from Spurs?
I'd say probably Son, although you know, quite know where you'd play him, but you would like. I mean, he's one of my favourite players in the Premier League player. I just think he's great. And I quite like his personality as well. He seems like a nice guy.
Attitude, personality, commitment.
He's got end product, hasn't he?
Fucking effective as well.
Yeah, he is.
Let's face it, you look at the Villa team and you as you said, where would you play him? I think you could replace anybody in that team, including Coutinho.
Oh, well, he's certainly, I would say, certainly more consistent than Coutinho and probably gives you a little bit more fight because he's physically bigger and stronger, isn't he, and quicker. And away from home, he's probably more effective, I'd imagine.
It's that kind of attitude where he's just he's looking to create danger all the time. He doesn't sleep. Coutinho can go missing for a bit where you go, well, I didn't realise he was playing. But that doesn't happen with Son. Son's always alive. I mean, in that last trip to the Spurs stadium, I mean, it's a case in point. He won them that game, you know, fair and square.
Yeah.
Because he's always a threat and probably underrated in the context of how Harry Kane gets all the headlines.
Well, yeah, he almost isn't considered like one of those like box office players in the league, although you kind of think, well, why not? Maybe it's because he plays for Spurs. I don't know, because he's so effective and relatively consistent as well.
And I think he's a player that gets in the Liverpool team. I mean, it's quite a tough order, but pretty much gets in any team. That's how highly I would rate him.
Or gets in and improves, I would say.
Yeah. I mean, just looking, I mean, obvious one would be Harry Kane, but I'm not a big fan of Harry Kane. I've got to say that. Nothing against him.
I'm just sort of like, I'm pretty neutral for some reason.
Yeah. Just something boring about him. Does he turn up in the big games?
As many big games as Spurs play at the moment. I mean, I really like Moura as well, to be fair. When he plays for them, I think he's a good player as well.
I mean, they've got apparently they've got a defensive midfielder that we were after, but maybe you would poach him. That's probably best not to mention his name, but certainly from what you said in the previous show, that he's doing all right at Spurs at the moment.
Yeah, he seems to be growing into it. I think they seem to like him. Certainly, yeah, the fan base do, yeah.
If he's any good, we all know, because Spurs will finish top four. If he's not, Arsenal will. It's as simple as that, because that's what, in their case, they buy players for, is to finish in the Champions League. All right, on that note... I think beating Spurs would give us a bit of a tonic, to be honest. And
a much needed one.
A much needed boost, because four losses on the trot, and then people will think Gerrard's a fraud. And this, I'm talking about social media. And it just gets a bit nasty. We're kind of looking forward to craziness in May, multiple games a week.
And we can also, of course, have an impact on the top and the bottom of the table. It's like, it's nice to be actually impacting the business end of the table, considering we haven't really been impacting anything this season. It's been a bit of a nothingy one.
We're not the lead actors in the rest of the season, but we have a part to play. And we can be pantomime villains. And I'd take that at this moment.
Absolutely.
If you're a mid-table team, why not wreak havoc and despair on other teams' ambition?
I think that's a good place to finish.
Indeed. By the way, do subscribe to astonvilla.wtf, which is a newsletter I'm putting out. Basically, my reactions. I've had enough of just reading bullshit and clickbait slush. So once a week, I just put out something that's straight up.
And the first one is very good.
And tells it as it is, and keeps it real, and whatever other description you want to say. No ads, no clickbait. Straight up. And the first edition was giving you insights that I got a couple of weeks ago, actually. I mean, that shows you how I'm not diving all over social media to put out stuff. It's because I'm lazy, maybe.
And you've been on holiday a lot.
Not really. I mean, I could have put it out. But anyway, it's definitely worth checking out. It's free to subscribe. So do that. And I promise you it won't waste your time.
And if you do end up reading it, you'll probably end up reading it in the Evening Mail anyway.
Yeah, basically I write it so the Birmingham Live can just chop it up and put it out without any acknowledgement whatsoever and say, oh, we've been told, or our sources have confirmed. It's like, oh, really? Funny how your sources have also waited 2 weeks to put out exactly the same information that hasn't been out anywhere else. Funny that, absolute shameless, but we'll deal with those people in due course. Meanwhile, make sure you follow the show and subscribe. Some people call it follow, some people call it subscribe on whatever podcast app you're using. And please do support the show by becoming a patron to get access to extra shows, where no doubt we will be discussing the fan consultation group meeting in a lot more detail. Where we have space to. Right, let's get ready for Spurs.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.